Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Advanced Tarot Secrets Easy Tarot Lessons. I am Dusty White, the author of The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever and Advanced Tarot Secrets. Unfortunately, Advanced Tarot Secrets is not out yet. Had just a couple of delays, but I'm hoping for June. Yay! And if you're expecting a review copy, give me a couple more weeks. The book's written. I have to do all of that front matter and back matter, and then I got to send it off to my editor. But if you and if you're not on the review list to get a free copy of Advanced Tarot Secrets, if you have a copy of The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever, and if you've reviewed it on Amazon, hit me up on email, me@dustywhite.net. You can go back and rewind that and get the address if you want. If you have a copy of The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever, and you've read it, you reviewed it, whether you liked it or hated it, you want a free copy of Advanced Tarot Secrets, which is going to be pretty kick-ass, just let me know, and we'll email me, and I'll tell you all about it. There's no cost or anything. All right, so today we have Stacia, one of my favorite people on the planet and best students. How you doing, Stacia?
I'm fine.
Yay. And as a special guest, I have another student who is actually a professional reader and a wonderful, wonderful person, has his own radio show, Tidal. Tidal has a show called Pagan Propensities, and you can find it at tarotidal.wordpress.com. Grab a pen because it's tarotidal.wordpress.com. You really need to go check it out. Tidal, it's so great to have you. How are you doing today?
I am doing awesome. I am thrilled to be here.
Well,
I might be pro now and I might be doing a radio show, but it wouldn't have happened had I not taken your classes.
Ah, thank you. You are far too kind. Well, Tidal, I do have that new deck coming out. The artists are working on it, and between you and me, it's going pretty slow. But they tell me 2 months. You know, of course, like I've been telling people, oh, Advanced Tarot Secrets is almost here. So hopefully by the end of the year, I will have a new Oracle deck, and you can take your stuff to an even higher level. But, Tidal has a radio show that just Google Pagan Propensities radio show. Pagan Propensities. I like the alliteration there. And it's a fun show. I've actually been on it. So Tidal and Stacia, one of my wonderful students wrote in a couple of questions and was asking that we cover these things on the podcast. So one of the first things she wanted to know was how to deal with the nerves of being a new reader. And I was hoping to get your input on it. Tidal, you've made that progression from student to pro. What are some of the things you did when you were sweating bullets?
I think mainly the first thing is to...
Yay, cuckoo!
That's my cuckoo clock. She loves to make appearances.
I love cuckoo clocks. Yay.
You know, what I do is I deliberately try to set aside some time to unwind, to relax, to be focused, to be centered, and to leave all my garbage in the other room so I'm giving 100% of what I'm doing to the person I'm reading with, and I'm not bringing my garbage with me.
That is really, really good. As a bonus just to the 1% or 2% of you who know astrology, Tidal was just talking about doing a very Mercury Taurus thing where you just decompress and you zone out and just kind of, you know, whether you breathe or chant or relax or meditate or just shake yourself off, take a shower, run around in circles, just, you know, literally vomit out psychically, vomit out all that stuff and then just go into the reading. And you know what, as a pro, that's what I've had to do, especially when you're at a psychic fair. You got one person after the other, or if you're good enough but also lucky enough to work one of the super pro psychic lines. They don't advertise these jobs, but the lines where they really are busy and you're slam packed and you know, you've got people calling up and they want real answers right now and you have to give it to them. And then you're off the phone. You're like, okay, I'm going to take a break for about 15 minutes and the phone rings because that's how busy this agency is because they have the top notch psychics. Something like that. You just got to be able to do what Tidal said and just like, just let go of it all. Stacia, any thoughts on dealing with nerves of being a new reader and, you know, nervousness before reading?
I generally just have a nice cup of tea, just like Tidal, relax myself, but generally have fun with it. I don't get nervous that much, but there are one or two times that you get tense before a reading, especially someone who is so focused on what they want to know. And I just try to bond with the person and have a conversation with them so that they're not making me nervous as a reader.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I wouldn't have thought of that. Bonding. We talked about this in the Advanced Tarot Secrets book, which you guys can all have free. Just, you know, rewind and listen to the earlier part. We also teach this in Advanced Tarot classes. Don't let your client, whether it's your, and I say client, that could be yourself, your friend, your mom, your dog. People read for their cat, and, you know, or it could be somebody who's actually paying you. But don't let them walk in and say, oh, look, you're just going to tell me this and blah, blah, blah. Because you're not a machine. You stick a little quarter in like Zoltar? I think it's Zoltar. And a little fortune spits out. You need time. It's like you need some foreplay, damn it. You know, you need to just kind of warm up. And having a few minutes to sit down and talk with your client as if they're an old friend who stopped by over coffee, you know, is my boyfriend cheating on me? Okay, first thing you do is you grab the cards. Of course, you're a little nervous. So you start shuffling. That puts you in the habit. But just like Stacia said, you know, you just kind of chat with them. You know? Okay, how long have you been in a relationship? Okay, well, what makes you think so? You're nibbling around the edges. We're not doing the stage magician thing. Like, oh, I'm going to find out all about you and use it against you. What we're doing is we're establishing parameters. Okay, they've been in a relationship for this long. What's the guy's name? The guy's name is Steve. Okay, and you're feeling it because he works that late. What we're doing is we're just putting down some key elements so that you can psychically latch in. And that process of latching in and talking to them, I think in hindsight, and I give Stacia full credit for bringing this up, is one of the best ways to counter the anxieties of, I got a reading. You guys are great. Thank you so much for this. She also wants to know about mental blocks. Now, I'm going to assume that you throw the cards out. I'm going to take this one, and then I'll see what you guys say. So you throw the cards out, and then you look at them and go, yeah. What the hell do these stupid cards mean? And I've done that before. Unfortunately, a few more times than I'd like to admit. And I've read for tens of thousands of people professionally, meaning I've been paid good money, quite handsomely, to read for tens of thousands of people. Ain't my first rodeo. So if I say that it's happened to me, it happens. And I think one of the biggest ways to go around that is know what you're asking. You know, one of the worst things you can do, and this is what happens to a lot of brand new readers, they'll pick up a book, or maybe not even a book at all, they'll just pick up a pack of tarot cards and they get that little white book. And I did this when I was 12. And you shuffle the cards and then you're looking over at the spread and you deal them out. And then you read the meanings of the cards out of the book. Now, first off, let's just assume that the cards are even in the right order or that you actually somehow miraculously got the right cards to come up. Now you're reading them, they're generic readings, like, okay, or you're trying to memorize key words and key phrases. You know, this is what causes mental blocks. And the way around that, and this is another good thing that you're going to read in the Advanced Tarot Secrets book. So just letting you know, it's all there. But I'll tell you right now, the little short version is know what you're asking. There's a I like to say there's a pecking order. And if you've taken any of my classes, you know what's coming up. There's a pecking order. The first thing, or the most important thing whenever you're stuck, is what question did you ask? If you don't ask a good question, and I apologize if I'm speaking too fast. You can go back and listen again if you need. But if you don't ask a good question, the cards are going to give you random answers. So the first thing you have to do is shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. Listen to your client. Talk to them. Warm up. Then make sure that you know what you want to know. You ask the question. The cards are answering you. They're not asking something that they said. Answering them. So you ask a question. That way, when the spread comes out, you're like, I don't know what this card means. We'll go back to your question. Well, I was asking whether Stacia's boyfriend, Steve, is cheating on him, and this card position 7 says this is what she's afraid of in regards to him cheating on her. Well, now that's a lot easier. It's hard to have a mental block when you have a question and a spread that's pointing in the right direction. So these are all tools to facilitate more clarity from your intuition. Title, I've been foaming at the mouth. What do you think about mental blocks?
Well, I think a couple things. I think they come up, and I think there's some really good things you can do that's not stalling and it's effective. For instance, in the third position card, I like to have people involved and interacting during the reading, not to pump them, but just so they're engaged and involved in the activity. So when we would get to perhaps the third card, I can see that it's the 1, 2, 3, the 5 of Wands. And I might think, oh, man, what does that mean right here? But instead of doing that, two things I might say is, you know, Bernice, I said, we're doing your cards, and I'm seeing a lot of conflict, and that's a lot of the reason that you're asking this. And then that will give them an opportunity to say something. And you can describe the card. You could say, look here in the card. There's a lot of people. There's some competition. There's some concerns. And sometimes as you point out the things that you might not notice as you're saying that, it's going to unstick you. And also it's going to make it more meaningful for them because you're not stalling or you're not making that up or say, well, we'll come back to that later. And so you're never losing that edge like you don't know what you're doing.
You bring up a good point, and I want to make sure. I obviously was referring to the Celtic cross spread. When you said card position 3 or the third position, were you referring specifically to the 10-card spread we call the Celtic cross?
Yes, I was, actually.
Okay. Just because it's not visual, and some people might go, well, I only read 3 cards. And I don't bring up another thing, but before we get to that, Stacia, any thoughts on this?
I like what you said about the question.
Well, thank you.
But I like to sometimes rephrase the question that we both agree upon before the cards are thrown so that I can shuffle it into the cards. What
yeah.
I mean by that is if a client, like, say, is asking about is their boyfriend cheating on them, well, again, the preliminary questions, but sometimes their question is too general for what they really want to know. So before I start shuffling, I will make sure that this is the question that's going to carry me through all of the positions in the spread.
And this is why I like Stacia, because she has been paying attention. Where did you learn that from, Stacia?
Oh, some smart guru somewhere along the line.
Don't say guru. But anyway, yeah. Stacia brings up, again, another great point. Okay, Stacia says, is my boyfriend cheating on me? And in the process of talking to her, I start to go, Stacia's kind of an uptight, jealous bitch. Now, I'm not going to say, Stacia, you're an uptight, jealous bitch. But, you know, sometimes you will come across clients who are like, seriously obsessed or they have emotional issues. Because, well, they're people. We read for everybody, and eventually you'll come across people who are not exactly the most sane. So I might not want to go in right away and find out if the guy's cheating on her. I might want to do a little pre-spread, like a 3-card spread, and say, what's going on with Stacia? So, for example, what Stacia was saying is that by interacting with our client, we can figure out, do we want to ask our own question? before we just blatantly take whatever question they've asked and go, that thing. So it's okay to rephrase the question or ask a pre-spread question. Again, it's in the book. Don't worry about it. And get some information to make sure that we are going down the right road. Because sometimes we're just shuffling our cards, trying to think of what we're going to shuffle into the cards. Because we've got to shuffle the question into the cards before we throw the spread. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. Long story, but you know, practice it, study, you'll figure it out. Like I said, it's in all the books that I have for you. But this is not a sales pitch. So, it's okay. As a matter of fact, it's demanded for me that all my students listen carefully, find out what your client's saying, and if your intuition starts giving you warning bells, so you're shuffling and you're about to say, you know what, I'm going to ask this question, and your intuition starts saying, danger, danger, Will Robinson, and that was from, what was that from? Some crappy TV show?
Lost in Space.
Lost in Space, oh my God. I know. It's so old, like 1960s. But Robbie, the robot. So if your intuition starts talking to you before the cards are out, by all means, listen. You know, by all means, go, ooh. Don't think that you have to have the cards out and that it's just your emotions talking to you. So, again, title. Stacia, great, great answers. I'm just so happy with this. So, know the question you're asking. Talk to your clients. As Tidal said, stay in control of the reading. Tidal, what else was your advice on the last two questions? I want to summarize.
Well, I think having people engaged in the reading.
Mm.
And if you're taking a couple moments to regroup, you can point out to them, and go back and say, now look at this card. See how that ties into here? And this is carrying on because of this. And this card. So you point out the commonalities, how the story continues. So you might digress a little bit, but you're not stalling and you're not saying,
And you bring up the point. Sorry to jump on you, but you said that when you do this, sometimes things pop into your mind. You're like, oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I was just excited about that point. I wanted to remind you to make it again that, you phrased it better than I would. Would you say it one more time about how things come back in your mind?
Oh, sure. I think if you're a little bit stuck, if you go back a couple cards or two and you can say, you know, Jane, look here, you know, when you're talking about this here and we're talking about the struggle and some of the confusion and look how that carries into here. And this leads into with this card and look, images here we have, you see the conflict, you see people moving around, and as you connect that, it's going to give you a moment to regroup, or they might say something, and not to fish information out of them by any means, but it's helping them have the opportunity to be involved and engaged, and the more they put into it themselves, the more they're going to receive from it.
And that's a really good point. You mentioned it. You just barely mentioned the edge of it, but this is so important because it made me think. You as the reader provide the general information that you're getting through the cards. You know, the cards stimulate your intuition. So the way I like to look at it is the tarot is a language, let the gods speak to us, to show us pictures, to stimulate our intuition, which feeds information from the back of our head through the front of our head and out our mouth. But sometimes it's a little vague, and they know exactly what's going on in their life, but you're getting this information, and sometimes they'll say something, and you're like, yes, that's it right there, because it's like you've got a vague picture, and you're trying to sharpen it, and they bring up this tiny little point, and it fits the lock perfectly. And then, you know, all of a sudden, your intuition makes perfect sense because they've got the nitty-gritty details. So I like to think of a reading as an interactive thing, pretty much just like you said, where they bring the details of the situation and you bring the prescience or the omniscience, and together you come for answers. It's not like they come to you and pull their arms and you're like, I'm the great and powerful Oz, and I will tell you all this stuff. Stacia, any thoughts before we go into the next question?
Oh, no. I think I'm enjoying listening to Tidal, and this is great. I love this.
This is why he has a radio show. He's just amazing. I'm a Tidal groupie. So she also brings up learning to trust her intuition rather than relying on her mind. Again, I want to take first crack at this. This is why I have a war on keywords. This is why war on terror, war on drugs. This is my war on keywords. We had a war for everything. Okay, getting serious. This is why I don't like keywords. And God bless all the other authors who are teaching keywords or Kabbalah or numerology or some fixed, redundant system that is not part and parcel of the tarot. It just was never part of the tarot. It was an add-on. That's fine. If you use that and it enhances your readings, and by enhances, I mean you have physical documented evidence that this makes your readings better, go with God. Absolutely. But don't just do it because it, like, you know, makes you feel better or makes you feel more ooky spooky. If you are not of a religion, don't start grabbing other people's religion, you know, and play the salad bar thing. But nonetheless, the point is that in order to trust your intuition rather than relying on your mind, you need to get away from this formula that I've just been bitching about. You need to get away from the memorization of meanings. This isn't cartomancy. Cartomancy is totally different. Nine of Wands, seven of Clubs, Ace of Spades. Yes, we have to memorize what these cards mean. The beautiful thing about the tarot is it has pictures on it. You allow the picture to speak to you, and your intuition doesn't work based on logic and facts and numbers. Your intuition comes to you through understanding or a synthesis or a bonding with your client and their situation through the cards. So my personal recommendation on learning to trust your intuition and rather than relying on your mind is get to know the cards. I have to recommend my book. It's the easiest way to learn the tarot ever. It's $1 a trump or $22 on Amazon. Free shipping if you buy a few things or if you have Amazon Prime, but it's well worth it, and I stand behind my book. But if you can find another book that does exactly what I said without being a plagiaristic ripoff of my book, then go with it. That's fine. But I have exercises in there. As a matter of fact, you can go watch my videos on YouTube. They're absolutely free. You can watch the videos and see that we learn exercises where we're just playing with the cards. And the act of playing with the cards, it simulates exactly what you will be doing when you are reading professionally. And that helps you develop and strengthen your intuition. It helps you build your skill with the cards so that you never, ever have to memorize anything. So how to learn how to trust your intuition rather than relying on your mind. Throw out all the crap. Look at the damn cards. Play with the cards. Do the exercises, please. I have hundreds and thousands of students who've taken this and have done it and have written me and said, oh, my God, it works. I've been trying this for 20 years. I've been trying it for 60 years. I've been trying it for all these different years. Nothing's working. I mean, I have some really old students, but that's great. Tidal, there's my rant. She asked you specifically, because I'm including you in this, how she should learn to trust her intuition rather than relying on her mind. Screw what I said. What do you think?
Well, there's a couple things. Last week, in fact, on my program, I had a friend who had never read tarot. And I said, let's just pull three cards. What do you see in here? What body language? What feelings? What do you see going on? Movement.
Excellent.
And she said, well, is that what the book means? And I said, well, that's the point. Knowing the meanings of the swords, the cups of wands is important, but it's more important to see how they speak to you. And she had said, she bought a deck. It was pretty, but it didn't speak to her. And I pointed out to her, for instance, the card, the Six of Cups. I always read that differently than what the books say. But for me, it works for me. And I read it consistently that way because that's what I get from the cards. I look at that card as being somebody who's going to notice the little things that other people don't notice because there's that figure walking behind them that just passes them by. And a lot of times to me that signifies somebody that notices that extra little bit that a lot of people do not know. And so I really learned to listen to that if it feels right to me. A lot of times people are coming to ask you something and they already know the answer and they're looking for validation.
Yes.
I need to go with that.
You brought up something real quick that I really like. I mean, I liked what you said, but you also had a little nugget in there that maybe somebody caught and other people didn't. You said that she bought a deck and it didn't speak to her. Let me tell you, I love pretty decks. And there's at least 1,000 tarot decks on the market. There's more, but there's 1,000 that have been counted that I know of. There are art decks. That's my term for pretty deck. And then there are decks that you actually read with. I read with the plain old boring Pamela Coleman Smith deck, also known as the Rider-Waite or the Universal Waite or, you know, any of those. But I'm always looking for a prettier deck, and a lot of the decks that are done these days are very pretty, but they're not very well designed when you consider them for professional use. So, absolutely. A deck may not speak to you, and I don't want you, you know, whoever's listening, to go, I can't read the tarot because this deck doesn't work for me. I tell people, recommended decks for beginners, any one of the Rider-Waite decks, the Universal Waite, the Pamela Coleman Smith deck, the Rider-Waite, you know, depending on which one it's called, it's an ugly deck by modern standards, but it is so well designed and so easy to use that super professionals use it because they are, what matters, and tarot, I'm sorry, I'm going to roll here. Tidal, tell me if I'm wrong, but people come to you, I would think, for accurate, in-depth answers that they can't get. They don't come to you because you have a pretty deck. I mean, if I want art, I can go to the damn Louvre. But if I want specific answers on whether the stock is going to go up or whether I should short Facebook or whether there's going to be an earthquake in California, if I want that kind of answer, that's what I'm coming to you for. So I'm more interested in the information you can give me than whether your deck is pretty or not. Agree? Absolutely. Disagree?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, Tidal says he liked the Radiant Waite, but they took the Pamela Smith off it. Mary Hansen Roberts did the Universal Waite. And then Kaplan had the Radiant Rider-Waite consigned where they redrew or kind of traced over Pam's original art, and they erased her signature. Be that as it may, you know, okay, Stacia, you're up. Learning to trust your intuition rather than relying on your mind. What about your experience?
When I look at do a reading for a person, I see what jumps out at me for that particular card, for that particular question, in that particular spread. The thing is, I can do a reading tomorrow and get the same card, but I'll see something different in the card. So the cards have, for me, more than one reading, more than one meaning, excuse me. So to trust your intuition is what feels right for that question, for that client, on that particular day, because tomorrow it'll be different.
Good point. If we memorize key words and key phrases, we have 78 cards in the standard tarot deck. If it's an oracle deck, it doesn't have to have 78 cards. That means we have 78 meanings. Well, there's 1,000 different things that can happen to me tomorrow and a variety of different things that can happen the next day. If I've only got 78 cards, that limits the number of things that can happen to me. Therefore, cards have to pull double duty. They have to blend with each other. Matter of fact, I think you guys are really going to like the advanced book because we have some new exercises I think one of them is the video we call Batman and Robin, where we do unequal blendings. So we can blend the cards together, but we can also make one card dominant and the other card subordinate, where the other card clarifies or aspects the other card. And I can't wait to teach you guys all this, so I've got to get this this stupid book finished. Again, it's just a matter of the fine-tuning at this point. I want to wrap this up. Title, you are speaking to an audience of 26,000 students. What advice do you have for them, please?
I would tell them to go with their gut when they're going to do a reading. Be there 100%.
Yes.
They deserve that because they trust you. And to give them anything less is unethical. It's not cool. And there's a lot of people that'll do that. But it's important that you say what you see. If it's something that's not what they want to hear, you need to take the time to be compassionate about it. And it's an opportunity to educate people. They'll say, oh, that's a bad card. And then you say, no, it's not a bad card. There's no such thing as a bad card. And, you know, I'd say if you were in a car accident, but they found out that you had a brain tumor and they could fix it, was it a bad accident or was it? And I said that on a program once, and there was a woman in the audience that actually had happened to. And I said, sometimes things are what they are. And plus, a card also depends on the position that it comes in on the spread. It depends what your question is. It depends on a number of factors, so one card doesn't always mean something bad. And if you give your best, if you see what you see and try to end it up in a positive note, don't trip yourself up by second guessing. Don't open up and bust up more cards unless you really need to, because more cards doesn't always mean more clarity. But if you do those things and just keep in mind those things, it's going to be fine.
Excellent, excellent. And again, one other thing. I like to say, and this is from the advanced class, so you know, hopefully you guys get this. Tarot cards are like road signs. If we're reading somebody's past and we see, as you said, a bad card, well, that's in the past. If it happened, that's a great way to verify that we know what we're talking about. We say, this has happened in the past. And people go, yeah, I don't really want to talk about it. We're like, hey, guess what? I don't even know you, and I pulled up something out of your past, and I told you. And the point is that it is the past, and the reason why it's coming up is you need to let it go. Now, on the other hand, you know, again, I'm putting this in quotes. You can't see me waving my fingers. Bad card in the future. Well, if I see a stop sign, I'm driving down the road, bling, 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 and it says, I see a stop sign. I'm going to stop. If I see a sign that says, warning, area patrolled by California Highway Patrol, and we like to use radar, I'm going to slow down and make sure that I, you know, because if I, yay, cuckoo clock. If I just blow through the stop sign, I'm asking for an accident. If I ignore the sign that says, hey, we're going to give you a nice big fat $300 ticket because, you know, we don't like speeders. If I just ignore that sign, that's my own damn fault. So I like to look at good cards or bad cards. I'm waving my fingers again in here. That, you know, look, if a situation is bad, we don't need the cards to tell us. Life is bad or life is good. Good things happen, bad things happen. If a card comes up and it says, well, things kind of suck right now, we got to tell our client, it looks like things suck right now. They'll go, yeah, duh. And we go, well, no, that's the point. If we see good or bad, as in pleasant or unpleasant cards coming up in the future, we can say, why don't you not do this? Because the cards are saying that if you keep going in the direction that you're going, it's not going to be very pleasant. Therefore, you have like an early warning sign, a chance to, you know, if I see a sign that says road ends 500 feet, I'm not going to step on the gas. Oh, screw that. You know, I'm going to turn around. So if I see a card that says, you don't want to go this way, I'm going to turn around. I'm not just going to keep going and say, no, I'm a human and no card is going to tell me how to live, because the gods are trying to warn me in advance. Go, don't do this. Does that make sense, Title? I don't know if I was...
Oh, absolutely it does. It does, because we always, you know, the whole purpose is to give people information and to empower them to own their own life, to own their choices and the responsibility for their life. And all we're doing is just giving them information from a different perspective and or helping them see it that they might not be aware of.
I like the way you talk. Man, Stacia, empower people to make decisions. I mean, I ought to hire him to do all my speaking for me.
He would make a good spokesperson.
Yes. So, Stacia, thoughts, anything you want to tell the kiddies?
Be honest in your readings. Don't try to BS the client, because they'll see right through you, and they could badmouth you, and your reputation will just go, you know, right down the toilet. Another thing is have fun with it. Interact with your client. Make them feel comfortable, you know, like it's an old friend. Even if you just, they walked in off the street. You know, if they can get that rapport going with you, your readings will be much better, more detailed, and you'll have fun with it. And if you have fun with something and you like it, you're going to keep doing it and you're going to get better. And it takes practice, but eventually, when people have the confidence to do something, it's all that much, it's such a wonderful thing to see.
Wow, this is great. You guys rock, and I'm going to have you guys on again by hook or by crook, even if I have to tie you to a chair and shove a microphone in your face. Thank you, everybody, for listening. The book is The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever, Advanced Tarot Secrets. The new book is coming out. I will, after we're done with this, probably watch a little TV, but I will try to work on some of the images for the book tonight. Title's radio show is Pagan Propensities, and you said, now Tidal, we can find it at tarotidal.wordpress.com.
That's my blog, and I always have the links on there, and it's on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Pagan Propensities on Blog Talk Radio, easy enough. Is it live, is it recorded, you have it archived?
It is both. It's archived, and a lot of times it's live, but sometimes because of people's schedules, it's pre-recorded. Can I say one more thing, Gus?
Please do.
Do you know what? Every time, don't get so comfortable to the point that you think you know everything about the cards. Because if you do that, you limit yourself. And then it's like, it's no good. You know, if you look at the cards, I did not notice until recently that the Empress had water behind her. I did not notice that there was water that ran behind the Queen of Pentacles. And I didn't notice that little bit of water behind the Empress. Every time you look at the cards, there is something new there to see and a different way to understand something.
Wow, this is great stuff. Hey, thanks for being here, and you guys, thanks for listening. I'm going to hang up now and tell you what, if you have any questions, any topics you want us to cover, write me, me@dustywhite.net, and we're all here to help. So thanks a lot.